Our scripture reading today comes from our missions committee. Here it is.
Well, good morning, everybody, and greetings to you all. This is the mission committee, and we wanted to read the scripture passages for today.
Proverbs 6, 12, and 13. What are worthless and wicked people like? They are constant liars, signaling their deceit with the wink of the eye, a nudge of the foot, or the wiggle of fingers.
Proverbs 10, 31, and 32. The mouth of the godly person gives wise advice, but the tongue that deceives will be cut off. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words.
Ephesians 4, 15. We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church.
Ephesians 4, 25. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body.
Ephesians 4, 29. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them.
Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Wise words about honesty and truthfulness. Honesty and truthfulness is at the core of every relationship, every wise relationship, every ongoing relationship. And it's interesting to see here the wise words that Solomon gives us about honesty and truth. And then we'll look at Paul's insight having to do with this very same subject as we move into Ephesians. Proverbs 6, 12, and 13. What are worthless and wicked people like relationally? Well, I could tell you they're a problem. They're a problem. They're a challenge. They are constant liars, signaling their deceit with a wink of the eye, a nudge of the foot, and the wiggle of a finger. And those three behavioral tics have to do with magic or witchcraft. Some omen being declared, some spell being put upon a person. And wicked and lying people, dishonest people, well, they're doing dishonest things. Solomon challenges us to, well, not be a liar, not to be someone that is deceitful, which puts us in the place of the challenge of honesty and truth in relationships. Sometimes there needs to be an authentic time of, well, truth-telling, of being honest with someone. Now, I know we would rather have honesty than deceit from someone. We know that because we've felt the sting of betrayal relationally. And we know that falsehood, well, it erodes relationships and it sours friendships. And so we'd rather have the truth told to us in love. Proverbs 3:3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Notice how the two of those go together. Bind them around your neck. Write them deep within your heart. Kindness and truth go together. Honesty and love go together as well. How are we to lovingly and honestly tell the truth to someone else? It's challenging at times, isn't it? Paul has some great things to say about speaking the truth in love in Ephesians chapter 4. We will speak the truth honestly in love, growing more and more like Christ. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. Now, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Indeed, be kind to each other, tender-hearted or compassionate, forgiving one another just as God through Jesus Christ has forgiven you. So how do we carry on an honest, loving, truthful conversation with someone? Well, I think we learned some things here from Solomon and Paul on how to do that. First of all, it's about having the right attitude. We have to decide right away. Do we want to be helpful to this person in speaking the truth? Or do we want to be hurtful to that person? Paul says this: get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander. Well, sometimes that's very hard to do when we're being honest, when we're being truthful. Oftentimes we get honest and truthful when we're angry, when we're upset about something. And so Paul's caution to us is a good one. If you want to be hurtful, then just use these bitter, raging things. But if you want to be helpful in speaking the truth in love, then you need to set these things aside. Instead, be kind to each other, tenderhearted, compassionate, forgiving one another. See, that's always the right attitude when we want to speak the truth in love. Everybody wants to speak the truth. It's that loving part that becomes, well, a lot more challenging, a lot more difficult. But if we want to help them and not hurt them, then that has a lot to do with what our attitude is going into the truth-telling opportunity. Do we really want to say the truth in love, or, well, don't we? The second thing we need to do is we need to focus on the best manner of delivery. We have to have the right attitude, but as we get into a conversation with someone else and we're speaking the truth in love, we have to decide whether what we really want to do is poke them or whether we want to pat them. Do we want to poke them and upset them, or do we want to come alongside of them and put our arm around them, so to speak? Paul says this: we will speak the truth honestly in love, growing more and more like Christ. Stop telling lies. Now, Paul isn't saying that you don't say what is truthful, but you say it in love. You say it in a way, in a manner that is Christ-like. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not always the first foot I put forward. If there's some truth to be said, oftentimes it might even be hard truth. But Jesus was always loving to us, forgiving to us. He didn't poke at us. He patted us. He put his arm around us. He forgave us. We need the best attitude, but we also need the best delivery. The third thing that we need, and Paul focuses in on this, is that we want to share the best result with this other person. Do we want to tear them down, or do we really want to build them up? And sometimes there are some things that need to be moved around as people grow. But ultimately, do we want to build and encourage someone in their growth, or are we just complaining to them, swearing at them, tearing them down? We need to look for a shared best result. So let everything you say be good and helpful, an encouragement to those that hear them. So is it encouraging them? Now, I'm like you. Those are hard words to hear, those honest, truthful words sometimes. They're very hard to hear. But are they being said in an encouraging way? Again, are we trying to hurt them or help them? Are we trying to poke them or pat them? Do we want to tear them down or build them up? Paul goes on, he says, whatever is helpful for building others up according to their need. Have you ever noticed when you're upset, you usually get real honest and real truthful about your agenda and not necessarily think about the agenda of the other person? Are we very sure at what we're saying, or are we leaving a little room to be directed, a benefit of the doubt as we speak the truth? Oftentimes, that's the difference on whether it's loving and encouraging and building a person up or not. That it may benefit those who listen. I know, we want to benefit the person who's speaking. Yes, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to stop lying and be honest. And Paul has some great things to say about the best way to do that. The best attitude, the best delivery, the best result. Now, I know the challenge to speaking the truth in love is when we're in conflict with someone. Have you noticed in conflict, all the bests I just talked about usually go out the window? We don't think about our attitude, our delivery, and we're not too concerned about what the results are going to be as long as we get to tell them what we want to tell them. As long as they hear it. In fact, the difference of saying and in love might be the difference between whether you just hear it as the speaker or it's actually heard by the listener. That's why the bests are important. Our aspiration, I think, in conflict with other people, as we seek to be truthful and honest to them, is we want our words to be a light to them. Look at verse 23 in Proverbs chapter 6. We want our honest to be a lamp, a light to the way to life. We don't want people dying in our conflict, do we? No, I don't think we really do. We want them to live. We just want them to live better. We want them to live in a better manner, in a better way than the way that they are living. And the test, by far, of speaking the truth in love is when we're in conflict with someone else. So when we're in conflict with someone else and we sit down with them, here's a few things that I think you'll find helpful. Now, number one, you want to be honest with that person. It doesn't do you any good to deny the fact that you're in conflict with someone else. Number two, be honest, but be loving, be caring towards that other person. Now, I was raised in a German family, and so we're loud and we move our hands all around. And I'm loud when I'm happy, and I'm loud sometimes when I'm unhappy. And to be caring is to take it down a notch or two or three or ten. Listen a little bit more. Listen to the tone of my voice and the volume of my voice, as well as the choice of my words. That will reflect whether I really care or I don't care. A third thing is we want to be specific. It's easy when we're in conflict to let things go every which way. And it's true, isn't it a wonderful thing when we're able to say the right thing at the right time? Proverbs 15:1. The whole issue of speaking the truth in love is so that it would be the right thing at the right time, the best attitude delivery result. So be honest, be caring, be specific, be solution focused. Have you ever noticed in conflict how you want to pick on the person and not pick apart the problem? Pick apart the problem, don't pick apart the person. Look for a solution, not just complain about the problem. And it's so easy to be problem focused instead of solution focused. How can we come to some agreement, some solution to the challenge that we face, the challenge that we share in our conflict? Number five, it's a really good thing to be open to agree to disagree. Sometimes we don't get a solution. We create a way forward, but it may not be the way that you want to go forward. It may not be the way that they want to go forward, but we make a way forward. We're able to speak the truth in love. And that may mean some changes up ahead, but it may not mean that we agree on either the problem or the solution completely. That's your opinion, and I have my opinion, and well, we're going to just have to agree to disagree on that. And then finally, we always want to be committed to follow up with that person. Now, if you work with them or you live with them, especially in this day and age, don't worry, you're already committed to be together with them and talk about this a little bit more to find out how they are doing, how what you said, you know, do you still feel as though I spoke to you in a way that, well, helped you, encouraged you, patted you, built you up, and didn't tear you down. And sometimes when we agree to disagree, when we check back in, it's amazing how, well, there's perhaps a little more agreement because time has gotten us to think through things a little bit more. Think about what we said, how we delivered it, what our attitude was, what the result was. Solomon is right on. We should not be lying to one another. We should, at the right time, in a needed circumstance, we should be able to be honest and truthful with others. But when we speak, we should speak in love. And you know, I'm a husband, so I understand if I taste the words coming out of my mouth, if they're sweet, when I have to eat them later, it's a little easier to eat them. If they're sour words going out, I can tell you, those are sour words coming back in. We are to speak the truth in love. That's what Jesus does for us. It's interesting as we go to this table how lovingly honest Jesus is with us. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't devalue the separation between us and him. He doesn't turn away from the reality that we have sinned and we fall short of God's glorious ideal. And as we've already read, God has forgiven us in Jesus Christ. That's why we're called to forgive others. The Word of God has spoken honestly and truthfully to us, but very lovingly, very encouragingly to us. In fact, Jesus was so honest that he came to take care of our sin problem, the separation we have between us and God. And he did that in a very loving way, in a way that becomes a great example for us. It's one thing to give advice. It's another thing to give our mind, heart, and our soul to what we say. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Now, it's true, if Jesus wanted to, he could have just said, "Let it be done. Let all the sin be taken away. Let the chasm between God and humanity be bridged just by my words." But Jesus knew that there needed to be a sacrifice. He was the Passover lamb. He was the one that was willing to give his life so that we could have life. And in this, Jesus proved not only his divinity, but he proved his humanity. He died a real human death. And he did that for us. As Jesus gathered the disciples around the table, it's interesting to read what Jesus said. He even talked about the fact that Judas was there. And he looked at all of them and he said, "I am willing to give my life so that you can have life. I have come to be the Messiah. I have come to be the fulfillment. All the ceremony to wash away the sins of the world. The sins of the many that would call upon me." Now the disciples didn't know what was right up ahead, but Jesus did. And instead of backing away, instead of relying on his divinity to just speak it away, he embraced the very human element of his death. He took the bread and he broke it after giving thanks. And he said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he took the cup and he poured it out. He said, "This is my blood that I willingly shed for you." And he reminds us that whenever we celebrate this meal, we celebrate that Jesus is our Savior, and that Jesus, as we aspire to live out his will, is the Lord of our life. His payment is our payment as we enter into a relationship with him. It's a payment not only now, but for all eternity. And so as you pass the bread, share these words: this is Christ's body broken for you. And as you share the cup, share these words: this is Christ's blood shed for you. As Jesus Christ has been lovingly truthful with us, as Jesus has been forgiving to us, as he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us, to come alongside of us, to build us up, let us share the very thing with those around us, those who know Christ as their Lord and Savior, and those that are yet to come to him. Let us pray together. Jesus, I am thankful that you're a forgiving God, and that part of that forgiveness is very much about truth-telling, speaking honestly to us about our faults and our failures and our sinfulness, our inconsistency in following you, our inconsiderate nature when it comes to other people. Help us, Lord, as you forgive us, to be people of tender-hearted compassion, that we can share words that reflect more and more that we want to be more and more like you. To the end, Lord, that we might say the right thing at the right time, and that would be a wonderful thing. Lord, always give us ears to hear what you want to say to us, what you want to say to us through someone else. Jesus, thank you for being our Lord and our Savior. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.